Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We are coming now to the last section of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The great chapter on resurrection, the doctrine of resurrection, as it is taught in the Bible. And throughout this chapter, the Apostle Paul confronts false teaching regarding the doctrine of resurrection, teaching that apparently raised questions, doubts, and even rejected the idea that there is a future, literal, bodily resurrection for believers. And Paul has shown us that a denial of the believer's resurrection is really a denial of Christ's resurrection. And of course, a denial of Christ's resurrection is a denial of the gospel. And if there is no resurrection from the dead, then there is no salvation for anyone. And therefore, Christian labors and sacrifices for the cause of Christ are foolish. If death is the end, we should eat, drink, and be merry, because there's nothing beyond the grave. But death is not the end. And Paul explains the power and nature of resurrection, which is a transformation out of earthly existence, the sphere in living here upon the earth, into the eternal heavenly sphere. And so now we come to a summary and conclusion of all that Paul has said, as he has taught that salvation is incomplete until the day of resurrection. And this is something that I think many believers do not understand, but we need to. The resurrection of the body is necessary to complete our redemption. We have been saved, we are being saved, we shall be saved. Salvation is in several tenses. We have been saved. If we are saved, we have been saved. There was a time in the past when we passed out of darkness into light, out of spiritual death into spiritual life. There was a time and a place when God's Holy Spirit birthed us into the family of God, and that is past for believers. And so we can say, I have been saved, past tense. But we can also biblically and accurately say, I am being saved, and that has to do with progressive sanctification, the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ, and that goes on throughout the entire time that we are upon the earth. We have been saved in one sense, we are being saved in another sense, but we shall yet be saved in the future sense. And the last chapter, the last act of our redemption is the resurrection of the body. And that's what Paul is showing us in this section. So thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, June 29. And thank you for helping me with the financial costs of the Beacon Broadcast. So here's what Paul says. And actually, there are a number of questions that are posed and answered in this section. And the first one is, why is resurrection necessary? And here's what we read in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now this I say, that's a phrase that indicates summation and assertion. This I say, to summarize what has already been said and to emphasize it and to put it in a memorable statement, and I assert that this is true. And resurrection is necessary because our present bodies cannot inherit heaven. Flesh and blood, that is a phrase for our present human bodies, cannot inherit, that is, cannot take possession of the kingdom of God in its eternal form. As we know, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, those are synonymous terms in the New Testament. But as we know from reading the New Testament carefully, the kingdom of heaven has both a present and a future aspect to it. And there is a sense in which the kingdom of heaven already is, it exists, it has been established, it is part of our lives, and yet there is a completion of that. The kingdom of heaven is not near what it's going to be. And the future form is going to be the culmination of that. But in the eternal form of the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, our present earthly bodies can't inherit that. Something has to happen. Something has to be changed because, again, as he puts it here in verse 50, corruption cannot inherit incorruption, which is another way of saying the same thing, but by putting it in these different phrases, it helps us to understand. Flesh and blood, present human bodies, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Our present bodies, the flesh and blood bodies that he talks about here, are bodies of corruption. They are in the process of decaying, and when we die, that process will continue until we have completely corrupted. And yet, there is a kingdom that is going to be inhabited by the people of God in their bodies, but not in these present bodies, because corruption cannot inherit incorruption, and so our present bodies of corruption are going to have to be changed. Something's going to have to happen. And what he's telling us is that our present bodies, which are perishable and subject to death and decay, must be changed into imperishable bodies. The songwriter said, "Change and decay in all the world I see. Thou God, who changes not, abide with me." And because the kingdom of God is imperishable and our present flesh and blood bodies are perishable, or maybe I could use the other language that is here, the kingdom of God is incorruptible. Nothing about it decays in the slightest. Everything in the world we live in decays. Everything is wearing down, not just human beings and human bodies, but everything we see, not only the animal world, but the mineral world. The earth is slowing down on the speed with which it rotates on its axis. Did you know that? Slowly, 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 slowing down, slowing down, slowing down. With the passing of enough time, it's going to stop spinning, and of course that'll be the end of life upon the earth as we know it. No, it'll take a long time, and we won't be around to see it, and God will have completed his work of redemption and will bring in the new earth and the new world order before that happens, so we don't have a thing to worry about. But nevertheless, everything around us is decaying, slowing down. The earth's rotation around the sun is also slowing down. Everything, the sun itself is burning out. The amount of fuel in the sun is beyond my ability to comprehend. It's beyond human imagination. It can burn unimaginable amounts of fuel every second and do that for who knows how many thousands and millions of years, but the day is coming. It's consuming fuel, and the day is coming when it will burn out. The sun will no longer shine. Again, if it's allowed to go on at its present state and its present rate, which it will not, because the end will come before then. The transformation will come before then. But that's the point. Everything connected with this present physical universe is perishing, including us. And therefore, we are not suited for an incorruptible and imperishable kingdom. So verse 50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." And because our present bodies cannot inherit heaven, then resurrection is necessary. That's God's design to move us out of this present state and into a state where we can inherit the kingdom of God in its eternal form. Furthermore, it is because salvation involves the whole person. That's implied. That's not stated here, but that's what's implied. We are going to be saved not only our souls, but also our bodies. We know that when we die, we are immediately with the Lord. Our soul is. Our body is left behind, and our soul goes to be with the Lord. Immediately. Just like that. Bang, bang. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But when God saved us, He saves not only our souls, He saves our bodies. But our bodies die, and they perish, and they corrupt. So how is God going to save our bodies? Or maybe we could use a different word that would help understand, help communicate this better. God redeems our bodies as well as our souls. Our souls have been redeemed and are translated immediately into the presence of Christ upon our death upon the earth. And so we are enjoying the presence of God, but we're not. Our salvation isn't complete. Our redemption isn't complete. And when Jesus returns and that trumpet sounds, then the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And our bodies will then be redeemed, as our souls have already been redeemed, and our souls have already moved into the presence of the Lord and are sinless and in perfection, perfect souls, but we've still got these imperfect bodies, but God has a design for that. And the design is the resurrection of the body. And so the resurrection of the body is necessary. It's necessary because our present bodies cannot inherit heaven, and it's necessary because salvation involves the whole person, not just the soul. I say a lot of people have difficulty understanding that, and I find that many times one of the most helpful things I can do in the cemetery, when the family's gathered around and we are burying the body of a loved one in the ground, is to explain the three stages of salvation. I have been born again upon the earth. I'm saved, as saved as I'll ever be, but that's stage one. When I die, my soul goes to be with the Lord, and it is entirely sanctified and is suited to be with the Lord forever. That's stage two. But we are awaiting stage three, and none of us have experienced that yet. But the day is coming when the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, and that will be stage three salvation, when our salvation is complete, and we look forward to that. And that's why the resurrection of the body is necessary. You can't deny the doctrine of the resurrection without denying salvation in its completeness. We'll take it up again tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.